Hi, I'm Dr. Kirsten Lauritsen. I'm a personal functional medicine practitioner for high performers and professional athletes. And I've worked with athletes in many different sports, from the U.S. sailing team to endurance sports and triathlon, CrossFit, and professional tennis players across the board in any sport. Maintaining a foundation of a healthy body and mind is crucial for long-term success. This is the podcast that will show you how to apply the principles of a healthy body and mindset to achieve high performance, all from the inside out. This is the Fit and Healthy Athlete Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Fit and Healthy Athlete Podcast. I am so excited to have you with us today. We are covering the most common mistakes that athletes make around fueling, especially in endurance sports. And this is such an important topic because there's a lot of confusion around it. There's also a lot of marketing around it, and that causes a lot of confusion. And it's also one of the things that I talk about the most with my athletes in my office, because, and here's what we're going to talk about today and why this video and why this podcast is so different, is because everybody is looking at it from a sports performance perspective, as far as like energy and energy requirements and all of that side of things. But what people often forget or don't look at or don't have any way to look at is how it's affecting what's going on inside the body and how those things are being used. So, and that for that matter, that's really important because So if you put anything into your system, it has to be absorbed, it has to be used, it has to be broken down, and then the body has to be able to use it. But if there are certain things that happen along the way that don't allow for the body to efficiently use what you put in, then we're going to have problems, right? We're going to have problems with energy. We're going to have problems with potentially even the absorption phase. So gut health and all of those symptoms and that type. There's a lot of different things that we're going to talk about today in this episode, but that's why this is going to be a really critical one for any type of athlete that is doing any type of fueling for their sport. So here's a problem that I think that many athletes face is, number one, getting gut symptoms on either race day or in your endurance sport or training. So gut symptoms, what do I mean by that? Have you ever experienced any type of gut pain or cramping or any type of burning, either during, after training, during or after races? Have you ever gotten that like gurgly gut, the things that just, you can just tell that whatever was sitting in your gut is not good. And all you want to do is try and get to a porta potty or a bathroom as quickly as you possibly can. And maybe you've gone through a race where you went to the bathroom, got everything out, and then you were able to continue on and everything kind of went well from there. That's one scenario where fueling may be causing some of those problems. There are a lot of other reasons why those problems happen as well, but fueling can be one reason for that. Another thing that athletes face a lot and a lot of issues around fueling is either low energy or what we call bonking. Low energy being maybe you start out the race with a lot of energy and feeling really good, but then as you start to get through the race and you get, you know, we can take any endurance sport. We can take a marathon or ultra marathon where you, for many people who are familiar with the marathon, maybe you've ran a marathon at around mile 18, mile 20, mile 22. You get to that point and everything just becomes so difficult. It's like the idea, you've maybe heard the term hitting a wall. If you've never experienced this before, this is another thing to just really pay attention to. But if you have, then you know what I mean. It's like you get to that mile, the longest mile, and then potentially the longest miles of the race are just after that point where it just feels like you're just trying to drag lead feet with you, you know, lead legs. It's a massive just drag to the finish line. That's what bonking can feel like. Another example of this as well is just feeling like your muscles just don't have, and your body just doesn't have what it needs in order to perform. I have a story coming up in a bit, but there is an athlete that I was working with that was just feeling like he just didn't have access to any of the power that he had, that he knew he had because he had all of it in training, and it's, you know, something that he does a lot. But he just was not being able to access that power that he knew really should be there, but just wasn't coming up. So that's another example of that low energy or bonking that can happen when we have issues with fueling. But then there's another one. And I think this kind of actually ties into maybe my low energy or bonking one, which is if you feel like you're just your times, like if you look at your watch as you're getting later and later and later into your training session or into your race, yes, you're going to get some fatigue, right? That is normal. You're going to get some fatigue, but you should still be, if you get all of this stuff dialed in really well, you should still feel like you have more energy still towards the end. It shouldn't feel like it's just getting harder and harder and harder necessarily. And what I mean by this is like, if you've ever watched your watch and seen like the mile times just click up and up and up. So that 7 minute mile turns into an 8 minute mile, turns into a 9 minute mile, you know, and it just gets longer and longer and longer. There's a few things that can be done ahead of race day that can help to prevent that from happening. And that happens to be around carbohydrates, but we're not talking about that today. But another thing is this part of this has to do with your fuel sources, right? It can also have to do with your hydration sources. And we're also going to save that for another day for another podcast. And then on top of that, underlying all of that is that you may feel like you have all of your fuel sources dialed in. And one of the reasons why you might think that is that you don't get gut symptoms. You don't get GI distress. You don't have problems with your gut. So it must be fine. There are many things that happen inside the body that you may not have symptoms, but may still be going on. And the reason I say this is because we have research that are showing some of these things actually lead to more inflammation, to more leaky gut, to more problems going on inside of the body that then lead to you not being able to absorb the fuel sources, the carbs, the proteins that you're putting into your system, the calories. And that is ultimately going to drag you down and lead to declines in your performance. So that's the picture of what we're talking about today. And here's the thing, if you've ever said, you may not have said this, but if you have ever said, I'm just still struggling with this nutrition, with this fueling, with this fourth discipline in triathlon, and I just can't seem to get it right, this is what I'm talking about today. And it's likely rooted in a few things. And you may be fueling, you may be hydrating, and you may be following all these things that people are telling you to do. But those options, and honestly, I mean, I think a lot of the confusion comes from just a lot of marketing and from a lot of products. It's a really, really large industry. But they don't like all of the, they don't always pay attention, right, to how those sugars, those electrolytes, all of that are interacting with your body. And that's a really, really critical point, is that you can be doing all sorts of different things. But again, as I mentioned before, if it's not interacting with your body the way that you think it is, and it's actually leading to it causing potentially more difficulty with absorbing certain types of nutrients that literally help you generate energy so that you can perform, we're going to have problems. And I know that you are doing these things because you know you need to, and you know that it's important, but you may also have a lot of confusion around nutrition and what's right and what's good. And I want to remove that confusion today. I want to make sure that when you leave this episode at the end, you're super clear on where the problem is and where it's coming from, and also what you need to do about it. Also, I mean, I guess the biggest piece too would be just to make sure that you actually know where the problem is, if there is a problem, and what you where you can start to go if you're not really sure if there is an issue, and if you want to dive in a little bit deeper to figure out and make sure that all of the stuff is working well, because your performance matters. I think one of the things too that's always really difficult, and we'll talk about this too at the a little bit later, is that, you know, we spend so much time, right, for these races. That's, I mean, gosh, I trained for my Ironman for 2 years, not intentionally because of COVID, but I was training for that for 2 years. And I know fueling and I know hydration, and I definitely still made a few errors that day. But, you know, we train for these things, and they're a lot of money. It's a lot of time. And the big thing about it is that if you're going to spend the time training and you're going to spend the time doing this, like, we want to make sure there's so many different things that can go wrong on race day. And like, guaranteed, like, endurance sports is all about managing problems. I think that's maybe why it attracts so many business owners and just people who just tend to like to find solutions and make choices and figure out what they need to do and solve problems. I think that might be why, but at the same time, we do want to make sure that, and that, like, this is the whole point of all of this, is that if you're going to be spending the time training and all of this, we don't really want to wing nutrition and hydration and fueling on race day. Let's make sure you've got it all dialed in before then, so we don't waste your time and that part of your day doesn't fall apart due to an issue with hydration and fueling. And this is one of the reasons why athletes definitely come to work with me. Like, I have one athlete in my group coaching program in particular that did really, really, really well, made it to Worlds for Ironman, the Ironman half 70.3, made it to Worlds in the first year he was doing triathlons. But part of the reason why he was looking for support is because he was doing a lot of like cross country and marathon running, but he didn't really have to dial in his fueling too much for that. And then as soon as he got to triathlon, he experienced all of the things that triathletes experience around fueling when things don't go right. And just saw a lot of that, just like really big drain towards after you get off the bike onto the run, and realized that there was a lot that needed to be done around fueling and getting all of that right and making sure that he was eating enough and all of those pieces. Like, I know he's not alone in that. And there's definitely a lot of confusion around it as well. But the story that I have for you today that I think will be really helpful as far as kind of illustrating where some of these problems can come from as far as fueling and nutrition goes, but then also what you know, a few things that you can do about it. Also some misconceptions and some mistakes too. I have worked in the past with a triathlete. I've worked with many, but this story I think is a really good one. He came to me and was having some issues with bonking, and he had been fueling. He was doing plenty of stuff. So he was sort of just like kind of riding this roller coaster as far as sugar goes. And I still think there's probably more going on there, but that we didn't look into, but at least from the perspective for his side of things, he just really wasn't getting in enough sugar. He was riding this roller coaster where, you know, their training is on point, but he was fueling for these races and being able to do a lot. And he like really fast, tons of power, but then he would get to points throughout his race where he felt like he couldn't access any of that power. And then on the run, he just like, there was just no point. There was no point in moving forward because there just wasn't any energy there. And so one of the things that we did was we looked at, we just made some slight tweaks, right? It's usually not about doing a ton more. It's more about just making sure that the things that you're doing make sense and are enough for what you need and aren't necessarily causing problems. One of the issues in particular is a sugar source called maltodextrin, which is a really popular one. And one of the problems that athletes face a lot of the times with maltodextrin is that they use it because it is a more complex sugar. So it's not going to be like just taking straight sucrose, straight sugar, like table sugar. Because it's more of a complex sugar, it doesn't spike your blood sugar as bad, which is one of the benefits of it for sure. But the other issue with maltodextrin is it causes GI tract inflammation. It causes inflammation of the GI tract lining. That's a really big problem. On top of that, maltodextrin also tends to bring water into the GI tract from your body, which we don't want. We want for multiple reasons, right? We don't want water getting into the GI tract. Why? Because then that causes a bunch of bloating and cramping and GI distress usually is because there's too much water. The concentration between what's in your gut and then in the rest of your body isn't right. And the way that things are flowing is not right. The second part of that is that maltodextrin also can, because of this pull of water out of the body, we don't want that because that's going to cause even further dehydration, right? Like in any of these races, one of the things we're trying not to do is get dehydrated, or we're just trying to slow down the inevitability of that dehydration towards the end of the day or the end of the race. But the thing that we don't want is to have that water being pulled into the gut, because then we have less of it for our muscles and for helping cool us down, right? So that's what I mean by that these different types of fuel sources may be good for some reasons, but we also have to think about how they're interacting with the body. And then if you don't, like, let's say you even take maltodextrin, you're like, oh yeah, like my body does well with those gels and all of that side of things. I still want, and I don't get symptoms and things seem to be fine. I still want you to think about that piece about that inflammation in the gut lining. Because if it's increasing inflammation and it's causing some of these issues, because it is, no matter what, if you're not getting symptoms, it's still problematic, even if you've tested it and gotten your gut used to it. The issue here is that when that inflammation starts up, it can start leading to things like leaky gut, which can then trigger your immune system. And then that whole process can lead to inflammation throughout your whole body. So again, this is why it's really important. So here's one main mistake that athletes make around fueling. So number one is that because you don't have any gut symptoms or any problems, particularly with your fueling, it means that your fueling must be fine. And based on my examples so far, I hope that you're starting to see that there's a lot more going on when we're putting food into our system, and we need to be very particular and specific about what we're adding in. And I will say this, some people do really well with gels. Some people do really well with whole food. Some people do really, really well with a mix of things. The point isn't that one size fits all. The point is that we want to make sure that whatever we're putting into your gut, regardless of whether you get symptoms of problems with it, and regardless of whether it seems and feels like it's going well, we want to make sure that some of these pieces are really dialed in and bottled up. Like, we don't want to put something into your gut that's going to cause inflammation, because then that's going to lead to issues with you absorbing it. And then that, because you're not going to be absorbing the carbohydrates, the protein, the calories as well, we're now going to have energy issues down the line. And even if you feel like you don't have energy issues down the road, imagine what it would be like if you had more energy because we were able to make sure that you were actually using everything well that you were putting in. Think about that one. Another mistake that athletes make as well is that they just don't do anything around fueling, just wing it for the day, or you underfuel because either for multiple reasons. One thing, this is really common with people who have GI related symptoms and GI related issues with their gut. So things like if you have autoimmune, or if you get bloating, or if you get gut cramping, or if you get gut burning, or have ever experienced or tend to experience that like aid station hop of from restroom to restroom to restroom, those athletes have a tendency to underfuel because you are afraid of eating food, because it's the worst when those gut symptoms come up, because it slows you down even more, because it's painful. Oftentimes it's really, really, really uncomfortable. And for some people, it just causes a do not finish. So you'd rather go slower and maybe not perform as well than have GI related issues, right? So that's one, or the winging it. That's another side. And that's another good example, right? From my group coaching course, my athlete, he was just winging it because he didn't know like what would be the best thing to do. And he hadn't ever had to do it in the past for his marathon. So if we can work on making sure that you've got all of this dialed in, then that makes all of this a lot easier. And also you can make sure that you're performing really well too. So the other thing as well that is a common mistake or misconception around fueling that I see all the time is a fear of sugar. So, and this is, I think, where that maltodextrin came from, right? That root of, well, we want to do something that's a little bit, that's not going to spike your blood sugar as bad, that's not going to be bad and potentially cause, you know, health issues and inflammation and things like that. The strategy that I feel like works the best in these scenarios is looking at a combination of a bunch of different things. And these are, here's a step that you can do today. Like the easiest thing, it's you don't have to necessarily do more. In fact, we can make this a little bit easier so that you don't have to do more. But one of the things that you can do if you have this fear around sugar, or if you just want to try something a little bit different with your fueling routine, and see if trying something different helps. There's a couple of things when you have this kind of issue around sugar, or if you would like to see if maybe there are some things that you can improve. Number one is add protein and carbohydrates. So part of how we can do that is two different ways. One is we can do it through carrying a little bit of protein in our water bottles. And that can be in many different forms. That can be through branched chain amino acids. It can be through whey protein. It can be through other different types of amino acids. There's a lot of different things we can do there with just having a little bit more protein in our system. That can also help to balance out that blood sugar spike. In addition, having enough protein can be really helpful to make sure that your muscles have protein to use so that we don't lead to further breakdown of muscle tissue. And then also, so this is a really critical piece, also making sure that we keep whatever, like a very small amount of protein is in the GI tract lining, and we want to keep it there, because as soon as our bloodstream starts to run out of protein, guess what happens? The body goes to your gut, and it goes to the very few sources where we store protein. And then that can start to cause problems for the GI tract as you get later down the line. And I'm not going to talk about that today. We talk about this a lot in my courses and my group coaching course. And we do this one-on-one with patients all the time, with athletes all the time, just having a little bit of protein around can be really helpful as the day gets longer and longer and longer. The other thing as well is that protein, as I mentioned, helps to balance out that blood sugar. So if you are using some simple sugars, it can help with balancing that out, which is a really great way to kind of avoid some of that insulin resistance and things like that. Now, another mistake I think that people make around this as well is that you don't necessarily have to be fueling, like taking in a bunch of sugar and stuff like that for workouts that are an hour long. If they're an hour plus, yeah, we do want to make sure that you're fueling, because that's going to lead to you being able to have energy at an hour plus. However, if you are just doing sessions that are about an hour long, you don't necessarily need to be taking in a ton of like carbohydrates and simple sugars. So that's one way you can spare that. And then in those cases, you just want to make sure that your pre-workout and your post-workout are dialed in. And that's pretty simple. And if you're not sure about that, that's another thing we cover in all of our stuff. But joking aside in some ways, but that being said, the other thing that we want to make sure of as well, especially if we're nervous around sugar, is we can use whole food in certain cases. So, and one of the things that my athletes like a lot is to do whole food on the bike and then transition into gels and gummies and things like that towards the run or the end of the race. Certain types of foods too, as far as like those whole foods, will have not as much of those simple sugars necessarily. So it'll still require your body to be able to break them down, and you'll still get the energy and the carbs and all of that, but you'll get a lot more along with that too. And that can be a really helpful way for balancing that whole system out. And lastly, it's really easy for the body to get energy from glucose, from straight up sugar. That's what your body needs in many ways in order to be able to keep that energy up. It's one of the reasons why if you've overfueled, people will say, well, all you really need to do is take like Coca-Cola and swish it in your mouth and spit it out and you'll get that glucose shot of energy. It's one of the easiest ways to do it. I mean, I would still take in quite a bit more than that, but the point remains. The problem that people have is that they have a tendency to like fear some of these simple sugars. And that doesn't always lead to a super successful race because the sugars and the glucose is something that's really, really critical for your body to be able to absorb and make energy. But remember, all of that being said, if your gut isn't being able to absorb those fuel sources well and properly, then we're going to see issues with performance. And if you don't necessarily feel like or see issues with performance, what I'm telling you is that your performance could be even better. Another thing that you just want to make sure of as well, as far as like, there's so many different fuel sources and there's so many different things we need to look into, but there's also a lot of different types of fuel sources that can cause problems for the body and for the gut. Maltodextrin is one, but fructose we need to be careful with, especially for female athletes or athletes. Yeah. For female athletes. The next thing is that whole foods can be really great, but if you have issues with GI tract symptoms, there's some things that we can do with whole foods to make sure that it doesn't end up leading to symptoms. And we can also talk about when the best time is for those whole foods. And also there's the fact of the matter of gluten and wheat. And if that is in any of your stuff, that also messes with your gut. And that's a whole other side of things, regardless of whether you're sensitive to gluten or not, let's say that. So all of those things are things that we talk about and we dive into in my courses and my group coaching and one-on-ones with athletes. But the other step that we also want to take as well, depending on where you're at, is also making sure that we're getting testing, because this is part of how we can determine how your gut is functioning, right? And how your gut is being able to absorb those different types of nutrients and calories and carbs and proteins and all of that. So here's the thing. If you have been in this sport for a long time, you probably know and have a strategy that you feel works really well for you. And what I'm saying is that we can potentially take that a step further and make sure that what is going on inside the gut and inside your body is working very well with the strategy that you have. The other thing that we can do too, if this is something that you're new to and you're just trying to figure out how to translate nutrition and fueling to the sport, is make sure that it's really dialed in specifically for you so that you have a specific plan. If you've had any problems around GI tract symptoms, or if you've had any problems around energy in your training and on race day, that's something you definitely want to get figured out. Because as I said, if you're going to spend the time doing this and training for these events, let's get it dialed in. Let's make sure you have this just it's absolutely 100%. You know exactly what you need to do. You know that it's going to work well for you. And let's also make sure that you have some options in case race day nerves kick in and it causes problems for your gut. That's a really common one. You can have all of your stuff dialed in, but as soon as those race day nerves and excitement kicks in, can wreak havoc on your gut. It can cause pain and all sorts of stuff. So part of what we want to make sure of is that you know what to do in that case and how you can work through that scenario. Lots of different things can happen on race day. Lots of different problems can happen, as well as potentially losing your stuff on race day, like losing water bottles and dropping bags and all sorts of things. So knowing what the best thing to do is best thing to pick up from the aid station tables, wouldn't that be helpful? So if you have any questions about this or you'd like to dive into this a little bit further, one of the things you can do is you can go to drkirsten.com/finishstrong. And I have a free guide there to help you dig deeper and let's figure out which areas you need some assistance with, if any, but let's also make sure that your body is functioning really well so that you can set up a foundation for a super fit and healthy body to be a fit and healthy athlete, especially if you've been dealing with some of this fatigue and some of those GI symptoms and some of these issues with energy and performance that just have led to you struggling through some training and some races and through your season. We can absolutely dial all of that in. And the best place to start is to go to drkirsten.com/finishstrong and grab that free guide. So I hope that this was helpful for you today. And if you have any questions about the show or any questions about this episode, you can find me at drkirsten.com and at Dr. Kirsten on most of the platforms. You can send me a message there. Also, if you're enjoying this, you know, what would be amazing is if you left a review, because that and a couple of stars, whatever feels best for you, and also a review, because that helps get this podcast out to more people. So thank you for watching and for listening, and I will see you next week. Take care. Hey, did you know that up to 70% of athletes may be deficient in at least one micronutrient, if not potentially deficient in two or more? Micronutrient deficiencies like vitamin D, iron, calcium, vitamin E, B12, B9 are super common in athletes, and they can lead to things like fatigue. They can lead to injuries and fractures, getting sick a lot and missing practice, to unexplained pain and a lot more. On the flip side though, athletes who corrected nutrient deficiencies saw improvements in VO2 max, vertical jump, grip strength, force, improved delayed onset muscle soreness, and a lot more. That's why I created the Strong to the Finish Line free guide for athletes like you to be able to train and compete symptom-free so that you can have the confidence and the power to perform at your best. Get this guide for free at drkirsten.com/finishstrong.